Parker.
True. Well, here's a break. We'll be right back. That's the introduction music from the first version of Red Dawn, released in 1984. I'd only been out of Special Forces a couple of years when that movie was released. You know, I called up my team leader and my commo guy, and three of us, along with my wife, we went to the Kirkwood Cinema to watch this movie, and I'm glad we did. I like going to a cinema in person, and there was a scene early in the movie where the character named Robert, this is in the first, I'd say half hour of the movie, maybe first 15, 20 minutes or so, they're in their little shelter in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, and Robert is taking a hacksaw and sawing off the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun. The audience spontaneously broke into applause. Seriously. The audience spontaneously broke into applause. And that's a rare thing. If you don't go to movies on a regular basis, like I do, that's a very rare moment, a very rare occasion for an audience to spontaneously break into applause. But that was the American spirit showing itself right there at that moment. If you haven't seen the film, I recommend it. The film is about, well, first of all, the title of the film is not just something they pulled out of their head. It's an official Pentagon scenario for a possible wartime scenario of the invasion of the United States, Red Dawn. It takes place in a farming ranch community in Colorado. The opening scene is Cuban and Russian paratroopers paratrooping into this town and taking control of it. The young man who's a graduate of the local high school, he only a couple of years before, he jumps to his pickup truck, picks up his younger brother, and several other young men from the high school. They stop at a local sporting goods store. They load up on guns, ammunition, food, and they take off for the family cabin up in the mountains. And that's the beginning of the movie. It's very dramatic. It is very dramatic. And I do highly recommend it. I like both versions. There was a later version that came out, and The more later version was originally had Chinese paratroopers coming in, and Chinese People's Liberation Army, the Chinese government, had enough clout to have the movie stop from being released, and they went through and did a digital changing of all the invading troops to not be Chinese but to be North Koreans. How about that? Another excellent film that I do highly recommend. Despite the overtures of President Putin for peace and so forth, Russia and China both remain our vowed enemies. And you need to be aware of that. We got a caller on hold here. We got John in Texas. Morning, John.
Hello,
a question. Did either of you get my email that said that from TIK, the Imperator Knight, the Brit, that he did a dissertation on Hegel, and also he's made up a word called ideal babble. Did you get that?
Well, I get over 100 emails a day, and I look at very few of them, so if I got it, I'm not aware of it, John.
I was wanting to ask you. I also sent it to him.
Well, Jeff will be with us next week. You can ask Jeff next week.
Okay, he's not here. He's not here this week.
No, not at all.
Oh.
Anything else, John?
What does he do? Another thing is, one other thing. How is it possible that never see any war movies much about World War One? Do you?
There's plenty of them out there if you want to look at them.
Most of
one
them
of my favorite, one of my favorites has to do with Sergeant York, but go ahead.
Though most of them are old movies, black and white movies from the 30s and the 20s. They all but ceased after World War II. Notice that?
Well, John, making movies is a business. And a movie is produced and released based on the ability of that film to generate revenue. And it's a business. And they make movies based on whether they think they can make money on it.
Well, one reason is that World War One was never all that popular, I understand. But after the war, the whole pretext for it was debunked by expository authors who exposed the secret deals and diplomacy, revealing the underlying goals of the Allied leaders to expand their colonial empires. And it also what it ended up doing was keeping us out of the League of Nations, not signing the Treaty of Versailles, keeping us out of the League of Nations. And it led to a period of 10 years of isolationism because the public felt hoodwinked. Now, why, and there's been one of the things that would expose how they've been duped into the situation they're in right now would be probably to destroy the myth of World War II as the good war. Because Why after the war? I mean, there were people in the know at the time, and I've read articles written back in the 40s exposing how Pearl Harbor was a setup and the actual much of the stuff about against our enemies being slandered and exposing how they did not really have anything against the United States. But that it was what was behind it was, like, I think there was a movie called The Best Years of Our Lives, and there was a scene in a soda fountain where somebody actually came out and said they didn't have any, where somebody was going around with an American flag pin on his lapel, telling this one veteran that he was sorry he had to lose his hand, but he said that the American public had been duped and suckered. It was not the Nazis and the Japs that were behind him. We were duped into it. It was really the Brits, the British, and the Reds. And the British were behind World War One as well. That's been exposed recently, even greater recently, by and there's somebody, a Canadian journalist, has done an expository on that and interviewed some authors concerning that, but he says that what he said was, what they ended up saying is that he said it wasn't, it was the Brits and the Reds and the Japs and the Nazis would have beat him, and he said that we'd been fighting on the wrong side, and that basically we'd been suckered by a few radicals in Washington. What he ended up doing was getting beat up. Now, James Perloff said that was deliberately put in there to send a message to anyone that would try to debunk the Second World War in the United States, that we were going to come after them. But part of the problem is that the intense it could be done now because the Greatest Generation is just about gone. There's only about 150,000 World War II veterans still alive, for one thing. And I think there's only one person in my immediate relatives who's in her 90s now that remembers that she was a teenager. But it still seems to hang on in people's mind. And part of the problem, it's like with anything else, people don't want to admit that they can be fooled. Now, how do you get past the psychological barriers that have been set up by all the intense propaganda that have been going? You know, the reason it stayed in is because of relentless propaganda in the media, for one thing, and also because people don't want to think.
Well, you're not, John. You're not going to. Any man or woman who lived through World War II, almost none of them are going to believe that Franklin Roosevelt knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor before it happened. You may as well be talking to the wall. It's simply not going to happen.
Well, he was also involved in provoking the German attack on Poland. That was a setup as well. I don't doubt that probably that there were raids going across the border from Poland into Germany, and these were provocation, I don't doubt. Probably had communist influence behind that, trying to create a situation that Stalin could take advantage of to get a deal for himself and set up what he's been trying to do is provoke a second imperialist war.
Right. Well, John. But what you're doing is anguishing over something that is not going to take place. The history of World War II, as far as most Americans are concerned, is not going to change. And anguishing over that is just a waste of time, sir. Anything else?
I don't know. It's just, how do you get people to wake up to their own present reality? That they're living in a fool's paradise, and that they've been hoodwinked.
It takes severe trauma to shake people out of their perceived reality. That's what it's going to take, that's simply the way that's human nature, John.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. It's what it took for me. It took the Tet Offensive for me to be shook out of my reality. I was up to my eyeballs in classified information. My daily routine in Vietnam, I was an intelligence analyst in psychological warfare in Mekong Delta, the capital city, Mekong Delta, Can Tho, that's Cantho. At the time, a city of 1 million people, is now around 2 million or so. And Monday through Friday, my first thing I would do my normal work day was to attend the classified briefing at the 4th Corps headquarters, which was formerly a French Foreign Legion structure. Nice place, by the way. And I would sit there in the classified briefing. I would make notes of what took place on Monday, previous 48 hours, Tuesday through Friday, the previous 24 hours. And I would... on my return to my battalion headquarters, I would stop by the CIA headquarters, the Army Security Agency location, Military Intelligence, the 9th Infantry Division headquarters, and pick up, and Special Forces, and pick up documents and bring them back. I would brief my commander as to what took place at the classified briefing. Then I would retire to the classified section of the intelligence section, and I would spend my workday reading classified documents about the Vietnam War. I recall at the CIA headquarters, cleverly disguised as a university extension, with all their jeeps painted blue instead of green, and these young men, these CIA agents, they all looked like college athletes, with their short hair and their Hawaiian shirts, going about their work as CIA agents. the woman that I dealt with there was this black lady from Chicago, very nice lady, really knew her stuff. And, I would greet her and she would hand me my documents and I would thank her and we exchanged pleasantries and I'd be on my way out the door with my attaché case in my left hand with classified documents, my 1911 45 caliber pistol in my right hip and my Thompson submachine gun in my right hand. That was my day, Monday through Friday. But twice a month, I would take a day off to fly combat missions, distributing leaflets and playing our loudspeaker tapes over the enemy concentrations in the jungle. And taking hits, they always shot at us, and hoping the hits didn't hit the gas tank on the aircraft. We got a caller on hold. We've got James in Vancouver. Good morning, James.
Yes. good morning. I've been listening intently to what's being said, and you mentioned about movies, and they want to follow their bottom line on the movies. Well, war is the same thing. Nobody gets into war by donations. They're out to make money.
Most profitable human activity there is war. You're right.
Well, there you go. Of course, when you look at text, if it's Machiavelli or it is Sun Tzu and the Art of War, Chinese Art of War guy, one of the first rules of war is all war is based on deception.
That's right.
I believe the Peloponnesian War guy, Thucydides, said the same thing. So I just wanted to ask, are you familiar with a strategist that is around Washington, D.C., and he taught at Georgetown? His name is Edward N. Lutwak. Have you heard the name?
No, sir. What about him?
All right. Well, he wrote a paper on war. He is a recognized strategist. And the paper is on the Internet. You can look it up, and it's called Give War a Chance. Obviously, he's playing off of John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance.
Right.
You see. Now, Ludwig's philosophy is, well, look, these people are in a state of disequilibrium.
Spell his last name, please. Spell his last name.
Lutwak.
Yes. Tango Tango or Delta Delta?
K. L-U-T-T, Tango Tango. A-K, Kilo.
I got it. Okay.
Edward N. Lutwak, okay?
Okay.
He's out of Romania. He's a Romanian boy. I'm a Hungarian boy. But anyway, his philosophy is that, look at, I read the paper, and he says, look at, states are in a state of disequilibrium and rancor, mutual hatred. So let them get it on. And afterward, when the ashes and the dust have cleared, well, it'll be a new day, you see. So a lot of these strategists, like Lutwak, are saying, well, this crisis has been festering and festering, and war is a way to resolve these issues. Now, whether a person believes that or not, this guy is his way of handling things like war. Now, I don't know if he's been in one, whether he's been shot at or not, but I think that this, I read him when I was doing my international relations things, and all my professors knew this guy. One of my professors actually took classes from it at Georgetown. I mean, at Georgetown. So war is a many splendored thing because it's created by all kinds of individuals. But I'll let you go, and thanks for taking my call.
Okay, James. We appreciate it. Thank
you.
Right.
Bye now.
We have a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an inward pass? Have you ever received an inward pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on frosty morning. Look away, look away. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back. Let's jump. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 14th day of February. Gentlemen, it is Valentine's Day. I'm going to take care of your honey the way you should. You got a few hours to take care of that. I have not one but two Valentine's Day sales. They end at midnight tonight. So you've got 12, 14, a little more than 14 hours to take advantage of either one or both of these sales. The Liberty Rocket Heater, $500 off. That's until midnight tonight. That's a great savings. And the Energy Cleaner, $25 off the Energy Cleaner, 25% off the mattress pads, additional 5% off the entire order if you use PayPal. When you place your order at my website, you pay full price. I do the sale refund manually. My order takers don't have a clue about the sale. Don't ask them. So you can place your order at my website or call my toll-free order line. That's 800-592-9543. So I just gave a short rendition of my daily routine when I was in Vietnam as a young man. When my feet hit the tarmac there in Vietnam, I had been in high school only 15 months before. So I was a very young man. I just turned 20 years old 2 weeks before I left to come to Vietnam. And I was high energy, obviously very bright young man, interested in what was going on there, and soaking up everything I could soak up. One of the first things I did was buy a Vietnamese English dictionary so I could communicate better with the local folks there. It was a big help. I was assigned a Vietnamese interpreter. He was the same age I was, 20. He'd been in a rock and roll band in Saigon before he got drafted. Already had a wife and a couple of kids as a 20-year-old. And he spoke really good English, by the way. His partner, another interpreter, he could barely speak English. I think he was just a political appointee whose parents had enough money to keep him from combat as an interpreter. He smiled and gestured a lot, but he really wasn't much good as an interpreter. I was only there a few days when my buddies in the intelligence section, they said, John, there's this Chinese New Year celebration. It's been going on for thousands of years. It's called Tet, T-E-T. It happens the end of January every year. And they said, John, Viet Cong are going to hit us. They're going to hit us hard during the Tet celebration. So that's what I was told in September 1967. As the months went by, September, October, November, I got more and more reports, especially from the CIA and from other sources, that the Viet Cong were getting ready for this massive offensive. So that's the information I had from reliable sources. On one hand, on the other, I saw that the Army was doing nothing to get us ready. We had not enough ammunition to provide our men with what would be adequate supply for one firefight, not at all. We had our standard rifle was the M14, which is an excellent battle rifle. Still is an excellent battle rifle. I also had a Thompson submachine gun. I had an M1 carbine. I had my 45, my 1911 45. And getting ammunition was a challenge. It really was. Our supply clerk, we would ask him, say, can't you get us some ammo? He says, no, I can't do it. They won't let me have any ammunition. Our magazines, either one. We had a shortage of flak jackets. That was starting to get better by the time Tet happened. But when I first got there, we had 3 flak jackets for all the men. And we alternate when we walk patrol wearing these flak jackets. So we'd at least have some kind of protection. As the months went forward, I became more and more concerned. And I was encouraging my buddies. I said, when you get that fruitcake for Christmas from your parents, don't throw it away. Save it. Stock up on food. Stock up on ammunition. I volunteered. I was at the air base. We flew out of Bintui Airfield, about a 10-mile drive that you can only do in the daytime. It was too dangerous at night. So one time I'm out there flying my missions, and it was getting late, and it was too late to drive home because, like as I said, the Viet Cong owned those roads at night. And so there's 2 guys that worked out there full-time, and we're having lunch, dinner in the Air Force Chow Hall. Great food, by the way. And the public address system said they expected a mortar attack and a ground attack later that evening. So I talked to my buddies, and I said, well, I don't want to be inside one of these bunkers with these Air Force weenies. Let's see if we can get something out of this. So I became the spokesman, and I found the officer in charge of security, a young major. And I asked him if we could make a deal that we would occupy a bunker on his perimeter in exchange for all the ammunition we could carry the next day. He smiled and agreed to my offer. We went and watched a movie, went to the back to him that evening, and he supplied us with all the ammunition we could carry and hand grenades and smoke grenades and pop flares. And we spent the night on his perimeter. Finish this story and we get back from the break. Enjoy.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
No food,
no lights,
no overpower, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive as can be.
Don't be a victim. Is your home and car protected from an EMP event, or will you be a victim? EMP Shield will protect your home, car, or generator from the damaging effects of an electromagnetic pulse and lightning. Folks, this is the exact equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect their infrastructure, and each unit comes with $25,000 of insurance coverage. To get a $50 discount on each unit purchased, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Or call the toll-free order line 24 hours a day. 800-592-9543. That's 800-592-9543. Don't be a victim.
Company! Fix! Bayonets! Move! Ah! Right! Face! Port! Arm! Pull them left!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Yes, my Valentine's Day sales, they do end tonight at midnight. So this is your opportunity. You want to save some money, get some great products. This is your opportunity. Liberated Rock Heater is $500 off until midnight tonight. When you place your order, you pay full price. I do the sale price refund manually. Energy cleaners, $25 off the energy cleaners, 25% off the mattress pads. And I do an additional 5% off if you use PayPal on the entire order of the energy cleaner and the mattress pads. I do the sale price refund manually. Place your order right there at my website, thelibertyman.com, or call my toll-free order line. It's 800-592-9543. So the man in charge of security, this major, he loaded us up with ammunition, several hundred rounds each, and bandoliers. And hand grenades and smoke grenades and pop flares. Our bunker was three 500-pound bomb crates, aluminum bomb crates that were empty with no bombs in them, but they were filled up with sand. One facing the enemy and two brought back in kind of a V-shaped, triangular-shaped situation. There's room for us in there. And we settled down for the night. Two men awake, one man attempting to sleep. I say attempting. overnight low was probably 75 or 80 degrees, lots of mosquitoes. And we talked about life. We talked about our girlfriends. We talked about our favorite cars. About 2 a.m., the mortar attack came, and they went right over our heads into the middle of the airbase. Of course, when the mortar attack was over is when we expected the ground attack. So the third guy was awake, and we had our weapons loaded, safeties off, hand grenades ready. And thank goodness there was no ground attack, just a mortar attack. When it was fully daylight, we returned to the security office, which was a mobile home. The officer had been awake all night. He needed a shave real bad. He thanked us for our volunteering, and we turned in the hand grenades and the smoke grenades and the pop flares. I should have drove a harder bargain, but I didn't do that. But we went back to the airbase there in the middle and went to the chow hall, and all these Air Force weenies who had spent the night cowering in a bunker, they looked at us like we were men from Mars. I was never so proud to be a soldier in the U.S. Army. Walking in there needing a shave with our helmets, our flak jackets, our M14s, and bandoliers of ammunition draped across our shoulders as we sat down to get a great meal and go on with our workday. So when the Tet Offensive began a month or two later, about 9 o'clock in the morning, the shooting had died down, and our first sergeant, great guy, he got on he wasn't all that tall, maybe 5'7 or 5'8. He stood on a milk crate to address us, and we're all gathered around him. And he says, he gave us a briefing on what he knew was going on. And he says, everybody who has one or more magazines for their rifle, raise your hand. We had several men who did not even have one magazine of ammunition for their rifle. That's how bad it was. Everybody who has two or more magazines, keep your hand up. About half the hands went down. Everybody who has three or more, keep your hands up. More hands went down. Four or more, keep your hands up. Everybody's hand went down but myself. He looked at me and he smiled and he says, Specialist Moore, how many magazines do you have, young man? I said, 8, First Sergeant. He says, you keep 4 and distribute your extras to these guys who don't have any. Yes, First Sergeant, will do. And I distributed my extra magazines to the men who did not have any ammunition. It came time to eat that first day. We had one MRE, one C ration meal for every 2 men. That was our entire food supply. That's all the food we had. Later that day, we made a determination that the combat had died down enough that we could travel to the chow hall, which was about a 3-mile drive away, and we did that. Once again, I felt proud to be an American soldier. Our deuce and a half, we had 2 deuce and a half to hold all the guys, going through the streets of the city there, and it felt like Paris in 1945, with being cheered on by the citizens cheering and waving at us, and we waved back and smiled, of course, as we were ready to be attacked along en route. Later that day, it may have been the next day, I don't recall which. Well, it was later that day. First Sergeant asked me to take a tour of the town, and I could pick anybody that wanted to go with me in the Jeep, so I picked one of my buddies, and I had my Thompson. He had his M3 grease gun. And we toured the town to report back our observations of the combat. I got to see General Westmoreland getting off a helicopter at Ekin Compound, another French Foreign Legion place that we took over. And I went back and reported on the devastation that I had seen. Later that day, the decision was made to have all the men consolidate into one building. We had 2 buildings, one for the officers, one for the enlisted men, separated by a half mile. And we all went to the officers' building, which was slightly larger. And we stayed there for the rest of the intense combat period, which lasted about a week or so. I found out something that teaches some basic training, that if you're standing underneath a Cobra helicopter gunship when it's on a gun run, to keep your shirt tightly buttoned so the hot shell casings don't go down your back. It's which I found out firsthand, they're really hot and they hurt. Going without sleep for 3 days plus is something I really don't recommend. I did that. I had no choice. By the end of the third day, your brain is playing very severe tricks on you. You'll be looking at the tree line, and you'll see things move that aren't moving. It's not a good place to be. Going without bathing for days at a time is not fun. I learned that taking a bath out of a helmet is far better than not taking a bath at all. All the water you have is what water that an M1 steel helmet would hold. I finally got to sleep. I think the third day of my bedding was a stack of cardboard that we used to pack up our leaflets with. One of the best night's sleep I've ever had. I lost friends in the Tet Offensive. It changed my attitude towards the war and towards U.S. Army, knowing that I could not count on them to do the most basic things for the troops, well, such as provide food and water for these men. How much more basic, the armies of Caesar, the Roman legions, they provided food and water and weapons for their men. The U.S. Army couldn't do that in 1968. Could provide the necessary basic needs of survival for their own men, food and ammunition in a combat zone. It changed my attitude and pretty much everybody who was in Vietnam at the time, as well it should have. General Westmoreland gave a speech before a joint session in Congress December 1967, his famous light at the end of the tunnel speech, where he said the following: the Viet Cong are a defeated enemy and can no longer mount a credible offense in this war, to a joint session of Congress and the President, of course, President Johnson. There was a CBS, I believe it did a documentary on what happened in that period of time, where they revealed to the public what, of course, I knew because I was living it. The CIA had a completely different assessment of the war than the Army intelligence that Westmoreland was in charge of. And of course, I had access to both types of classified information, and I knew who was telling the truth because I was getting independent confirmation of the CIA reports, separate and apart from what the CIA was reporting. It changed our attitude. It changed the entire character of the war. Now, quite frankly, the first 3 days, it wasn't clear who was going to win. It really wasn't. I recall laying on the ground as the mortars were incoming mortars were going off and watching the little particles of dust and dirt jump off the floor every time there was an impact. And we had Radio Vietnam going to get some kind of news. And there was a report about mid-morning of the Viet Cong were inside the U.S. Embassy compound in Saigon. I'm laying there thinking to myself, oh, Mauer, if the most secure place in the entire country has Viet Cong running around tossing hand grenades, what chance do I have? Looking at the sandbags that we had between us and the Viet Cong, I didn't have a concrete wall like they got at the embassy compound. We had limited ammunition, as I just told you. It was a pretty hopeless situation. It really was. But by the fourth day, American firepower was kicking in, and we literally kicked the butts of the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese both. It took longer. The North Vietnamese army was attacking up north in I Corps, and it was a whole different army. There was a trained, disciplined army compared to the mostly drafted guerrillas of the Viet Cong. The majority of Viet Cong were teenage boys who'd been drafted against their will as the Viet Cong went through their villages. They wanted nothing to do with the war, but they had no choice. They were drafted at gunpoint from their families. They really didn't want to be part of that war. But by the third day, American firepower was really kicking the butts of the Viet Cong and largely the North Vietnamese army as well. And at that point, we knew who was going to win. It was still a tough battle. It went on for weeks, went on for months, actually, with the Marines up in I Corps fighting for a number of weeks at Quezon, at well, not only Quezon, but the ancient capital city of Vietnam, where we had that urban fighting, which is brutal. So that changed my whole attitude about the war, which I decided at that point that I would talk publicly about what was really going on, which the Army did not like that. A number of us decided to publish our findings in a covert newspaper, and we were ready to do that when the Army found out and shut us down. Most people believe that the GIs in Vietnam were supporting the war effort and behind it. Nothing could be further from the truth. There was not ubiquitous support of the war in Vietnam, not even close. Men in the field, sometimes they had a commander that would make decisions that would cost American lives, and the guys knew this, and they'd end up being fragged, which would be a hand grenade tossed into their living quarters while they were asleep, killing them, fragging their officers. Because these men, they knew that if they followed the orders of this officers, that men were going to be killed and wounded for no good reason. So they fragged them. Not a good thing. When your men are killing their officers, you know you're in a really bad situation. One of the jobs of psychological warfare is to convince the enemy that their weapons are ineffective, that their weapons are less than desirable. We had that going on in the U.S. Army, but we didn't need their enemy to do that for us. We figured out on ourselves that the M16 was a joke. We called it the mouse gun, after Mickey Mouse. You know, it had a reputation for jamming when you needed it most in combat. My buddies that were on the river patrol boats doing psychological warfare, they would have three M16s. Not one, not two, but three M16s, because they needed that many M16s to get through one firefight, because they shoot one till it jammed, pick up the second one, shoot till it jammed, and pick up the third one, hopefully making it through the firefight as a PBR, patrol boat river, was being out of the firefight as fast as they could. They were very powerful engines, could go really fast. Nobody wanted the M16. There was a Marine Corps officer, a company commander, who his men had M14s. He knew that if he brought his men back to the base camp, that they would take away the M14s and give them M16s. He stayed out there for months, being resupplied with food and ammunition and uniforms and so forth for months, because he didn't want his men to lose their excellent M14s and trade them in for M16s, which would jam at the worst possible moment. That's what they would do. And they still do. They have the M4 carbine, which is a short version M16. The M16 is still in daily use. And it's well known in the Army that around 300 rounds, they'll start jamming. That's the reputation of the standard battle rifle that's been issued now for more than half a century. It jams. Every World War II rifle can be shot for thousands of rounds without jamming. The M1 carbine, one of my favorites, the M1 Garand, the M3 grease gun, the Thompson submachine gun, all of them are very trustworthy, reliable weapons. And it's a shame what we've done to ourselves. It really is. And when your enemy makes fun of their own weapons, you've won half the battle there, haven't you? Of course you have. That's my reality. That's my reality. The Army is now adapting a new rifle. It's a different, a new caliber, a new platform. I'm not familiar with it. I haven't really seen it evaluated. Hopefully, it will correct the inherent issues that the M16, M4 carbine have always had this past half century. The main one being it's not reliable. The other one, the caliber itself. Interesting film, Black Hawk Down, where we got the Army Rangers, Delta Force, coming to the rescue of regular Army guys. The Delta Force guys have M14s. The regular Army guys have M16s. And the M14s put down the Somali terrorists with one shot. The M16s, they typically take three shots before the terrorists would fall to the ground. The 223, the 5.56 NATO round, is something that never should have been brought into combat, in my opinion. Never should have been. It's not a man stopper. The M14 is a man stopper. And that's brought out in that film, Black Hawk Down. Here's our last break. We'll be right back.
Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number two. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart,
Under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Let's see, tomorrow is Thursday. That means Dr. Horowitz will be with us. We'll have Kirk with us. And my friend Tom Berryhill, talking about the energy cleaner, will give us updates on that. And my friend Brady, who's the production engineer over at Liberated Rocket Heaters, I'm the executive vice president of the company. We build really high-quality stoves that use either your choice of wood pellets or regular firewood, and they're so efficient that they have no smoke. That's correct, no smoke. And no electronics, so they're EMP-proof, no electricity at all. Friday, Marie Lasser has the next 2 weeks off. I believe Steve Benin will be with us the third hour. We'll have with us, let's see, I think Scott will be with us tomorrow. My friend, Dr. Scott Huff, will be with us tomorrow. And it'll be a good day, as always. I just want to encourage everybody to keep your head on a swivel, be aware of what's going on, and get ready. I don't know. I hope there won't be civil war in this country. If there is, being prepared ahead of time is certainly the place you want to be, with food, hopefully a proprietary source of water, everything you need to protect your family, and all the things that go along with being self-sufficient during hard times. The time to do that is now. After the fact, well, if you can do it at all, it'll be really, really expensive. So now is the time to be doing it with all those necessities. Great visiting with all of you today. We had some technical issues. We had some guests that weren't to be able to show up, but that's just the nature of talk radio. And that's okay. That's just what I volunteered for. If you like what you hear, please consider making a donation to Republic Broadcasting. We're not quite self-sufficient. We're working on it diligently. You can go to the RBN website, make your donation right there. You can call them up and make a donation on the telephone. And it'll help. It'll help keep us going and get this information out. Okay. Just do it. Just do it. Make that donation, whether it's $5 or $25 or $100. Do what you can. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your engine cleaner, essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful county, Crawford County, Missouri. Large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. Even larger, beautiful state of Texas. Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.